The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Derek Hall, president of the Arizona Diamondbacks, who is going to jump on board today, president and CEO, with the team having a home opener. We will talk with Derek. We will have Jimmy Vaccaro on from Vegas. We have not had Jimmy on, in a few months because Vegas was shut down. And I know that there are those out there that want to know about when I can lay down my bets and what are the bets and what is the prop bet on the baseball season actually being completed, the number of stoppages we're going to have during the NFL, and much more. Jimmy Vaccaro has been doing things around gambling for 41 years. He's the wisest of the wise guys. I've had Jimmy on shows for 30 of those 41 years. Very much looking forward to having Jimmy on. He's just a jewel. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. They are the title sponsor of Sports360AZ.com, and we're proud to have them on board. I was visiting with a businessman a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I saw where Desert Financial Credit Union is now part of what you're doing. That is terrific. What a great brand, great people. They have been with me and my business for almost 20 years now. And this is somebody that employs 1,000 people. Very impressive to visit with him about all the Desert Financial has done for him and for his business through the years. How about you? Can you use some help? Obviously, just log on to Desert Financial Credit Union. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Eric is with us. What is on your radar today? Can you pitch? Can you get anybody out? Do you watch
funny. It's funny. Remember when I texted you and I said, the Diamondbacks have one hit through like six innings, and then they exploded for all these runs. And, well, the movie ended like the movie had ended in Southern California with a loss. So.
So they have not won a Madison Bumgarner start yet. And what did we figure? Or I figured. You may have figured differently. My math says that we will get 12 of those to watch this year in Arizona. So he's through two of them, and they have not won either one of those games. That's not good. And he pitched well enough, I thought, last night. But, man, and, you know, people want to rag all over Chafin. Here's the thing. The night before, Chafin came in and did what Chafin's supposed to do.
Right.
So it's the life of bullpen, and Torrey's getting crushed. I've got people texting me, see, he's overusing his bullpen again. Mad Bum should have still been out there. And part of me, Eric, is like, it's the second week of the season, and is he really all stretched out in pitch counts and all that stuff? So,
but I will say, Brad, like the urgency of this 60-game season, one of my all-time favorite Pedro Gomez lines to you that he seems to use every February is, you can't win a division in the first month of the season, but you can lose it. And this year, something that is probably like 10 times what it usually is. And now you've got the Dodgers and Astros come to town. Not a recipe for postseason success if this trend continues.
Did you see the walk-off with the Giants last night?
I did not.
So they had the walk-off, so they all ran out there to celebrate, and then they all took a step back. It was beautiful. Jason Stark is worth reading today. Jason Stark's always worth reading, but he is one that looks at baseball with a little bit of an oddball side to it. He's a guy that admitted openly, I love seeing shortstops pitch in the 18th inning. However, now I love seeing a two-run home run with a leadoff batter in extra innings. Like, this whole extra inning thing, we haven't had one yet here for the Diamondbacks. And when they do have one, I think you and I are going to jump on the air, or friends of ours, like Jordan's a total seamhead, he'll lose his mind, of what was he thinking there? And the strategy part of it, I really think that that is something that I look at and say, you know, what will this look like?
I love the concepts. I think baseball needs to be proactive, and doing something like this is a good thing, especially during 160 whatever game schedule they play. Think of all the extra inning games and how the deeper the extra innings go, it taxes not only your players but your bullpen. An appearance in an 18 inning game, you're going through five or six pitchers. If the games end in the 10th or the 11th, you're going to save your arms. You're going to save the wear and tear on your players. And I just think, you know, all these sports are trying to become faster, and I applaud baseball for at least trying this.
So the Dodgers are here tonight. Obviously, I'm going to watch. It's not because I'm not one of these guys like, oh, I hate LA. It's just give me a game. You know, and it's Robbie Ray pitching tonight. It's the home opener. It's going to be different for Derek. Derek's going to be with us here in about 10 minutes. Where are we at now with the stadium because of the pandemic, because of the downturn in the economy? Where are we at with the stadium?
And Dodgers-Astros last night, Brad, was a great game. Not to interrupt you, but true. I watched most of it, and it was two really good teams playing really high-level baseball. So,
The Coyotes play tonight. Now, it's only a scrimmage, but we have to start looking at this weekend where the sports calendar is really going to ramp up. Like tomorrow, the Suns have their first game, and it's a seeding game. We have to be clear on this. It's very confusing to let fans know why, in fact, the Suns are playing when they're nowhere near close to being in the playoffs, but yet they were invited to Orlando because they're in a seeding game. Or is it, let's find a way to make sure to get this thing off and running, we can feature guys like Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton that fans want to see. We'll figure out a way to shoehorn in the Suns any way, anyhow that we can. And so that's going on. In about 15 minutes after, Derek, I want to talk to you about college football. Did you see what Notre Dame did yesterday with the ACC? Did you hear about this?
I did. I did see it.
And so now Notre Dame is going into the ACC. And, well, actually, their money for their television contract is going into the ACC. And the ACC is saying, thank God we can actually make budget now.
For now.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. No, you're right. But we still have the Big 12 who's not announced what they want to do. The SEC has not announced what they want to do. And the SEC is sitting there, you know, oh, we're the big mighty SEC. But if they decide to only play in conference, there's four games that they are supposed to play in crossover against the ACC, which fans would love to see. Sure. So the SEC would get pounded, I believe, in a national platform. I think national media would destroy them for walking away from these games. Like the Pac-12, I was told yesterday, their schedule is going to be announced tomorrow or Monday. We told you last week, ASU, U of A is going to happen in September if they play. And this morning, the LA Times wrote, UCLA, USC is going to happen second week of the season, just like ASU, U of A, September 26th. I think that's really smart. I'd like to see them play your rival the second week, as I believe ASU and U of A will. But then I would like to see them play the final week of the season. You can't tell me that, oh, the rivalry would be diminished if they played each other twice in a year. No. Like, from what I hear right now, Cal is going to be the final game for ASU on their schedule. From what I'm hearing, Oregon State's going to be the opener. If, in fact, there's three different sets of schedules floating out there. If it's Oregon State and U of A is the first two games for ASU, they're 2-0, right? I mean, Oregon State was better last season. Now, I don't know if it's a home game against Oregon State. I believe it would be. Didn't they play in the fog last year? Was that the year before up there in Corvallis?
I believe it was the year before.
Was it the year before?
But even if it is a road game, you're going to Corvallis at the right time of year. You're not
going. It's not nasty. Yeah.
You're not going over Halloween or, you know, late October when it's cold and rainy.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. So I want to talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. Up next, Derek Hall, President and CEO of the Diamondbacks on opening day. Later, Jimmy Vaccaro. Eric and I will kick around some college football later in the show, too. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, the president, CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks, on opening day, Derek Hall, joins us. This is an opening day that you will never forget. When you write the book, because you do, Mr. Hall, have a book in you, okay? With everything that you've everything you've accomplished, everything you've had to go through personally that we're aware of, all that stuff, today would be one of those days where, is there going to be bunting in the shot tonight? You know, the red, white, and blue bunting everywhere. Or is it just a hermetically sealed stadium? What's it going to look like?
No, it'll look normal just without fans. We are definitely going to have bunting up. We're going to try, you know, Brad, we're going to try and make it as normal as possible to, you know, the viewing audience and to the players and staff. So, you know, DBTV, the entertainment, the walk-up music, virtual first pitch, you know, fans on Zoom and Zoom rooms being able to be part of taking me out to the ballgame, all of that will be present We're not going to have cutouts everywhere like other teams have had. And we've heard from fans either love it or they don't like it a lot. Yeah. We are going to have them right behind home plate in that home plate batter's box sweep that everybody sees so vividly. And what we'll do there is use initiatives and be able to talk about items like RBI and have representatives of Reviving Baseball in the inner cities, having teachers there, having healthcare workers, frontline workers that we can showcase. So we're excited about that.
All right. No, that all sounds good. Are we going to have the hot dog race? If we can't have the hot dog race, we got to figure out a virtual hot dog where kids jump up and down in hot dog outfits. I don't know.
Yes, we're not going to have it in the ballpark, but we are going to have it on our interactive games, which we have on our ballpark app. So if everybody goes on to, our ballpark at the ballpark app and goes on to the D-backs icon, there's interactive games and they can predict the outcome of the hot dog race every game.
That's awesome. And are we going to have the legends race? Are we going to have the legends race, Derek?
Exact same deal. We're going to do it virtually, interactively through our app or at the ballpark app. So absolutely. I mean, Brad, we're trying here. We're trying to bring it to our fans' homes and connect as best we can. And I think it's more important, obviously, this year than any.
What can you do out in the pool, if anything? Or is that just no bueno? We're not doing that. Anything?
Yeah, we're not. No, hopefully we could just land some splash balls out there. You know, we've only had one home run this year. So hopefully our D-backs can launch a few out there and involve the pool because we have not gone over the fence much this season.
are you yelling at the TV? Are you a yeller when things don't go right for the team? Are you?
I am. You know me. I'm very optimistic. I'm very positive. I want to win so bad for our fans and for our employees. It just hurts. And, I've been in this game over 25 years, and every game I live and die with each pitch. But that's what also keeps us coming back. We're so loyal to this game and to the team, and you want them to do so well. I think we could be up 15-0, though, and make an error, and I'm going to be upset. That's just my nature. We're all perfectionists, and we expect the best out of our guys, and we want the best for them, too, because they've prepared so hard.
Okay, but are you a realist when you're yelling, or is it the umpire's fault every time?
A little bit of both. I can't blame the umpires, especially when they're going both ways and they're consistent. You really can't get on them. You just have to execute. I'm a realist. I think at times I'm probably, over the years, I haven't been so realistic about necessarily the talent or expectations of our team. I always think we're better and hope that we're better. And so, my expectations are always a little higher. I don't always express those, but I hope to win and expect to win every game. And I think our players do too, though.
Derek Hall with us opening night tonight. You can watch it on Fox Sports Arizona. You can listen to it over on the radio network. The flagship is 98.7 FM. I'm curious about how you believe things have gone on the field with Mad Bum starts from this standpoint. I'm looking at it as to get to the postseason, 30 to 35 wins with expanded playoffs. Somewhere in that vicinity, he's probably going to get 12 starts every fifth day, 60 games. You're two starts in, he hasn't had a victory as of yet. What do you make out of Mad Bum? My math and that playoff total, a lot there.
No, I think your math is good. I really do, Brad. I think, the first two starts, he, like most of our rotation, has started slow, hasn't gone as deep into games as we had hoped, other than Merrill Kelly, who was nearly perfect. I think he's kept us in the game, and that's what he's going to do as an ace. I know he's concerned about his velocity and the fact that he hasn't gone deep, but he will. I'm not worried about him. He's a pro. He's so talented, and he's deceptive and intimidating, and you've seen all that. He's had flashes where he looks so good, especially both games, the first three, four innings. So I'm not worried. He's gonna string that together with more length. And I think our rotation is really our strength. When you turn the ball over then, hand it over to Robbie Ray, who had a great, great spring or summer camp, didn't fare so well in his first outing, but we expect him to look like he has the last month. Then he hands the ball over to Gallen, to Weaver after that, then Kelly. I really like our starting rotation, and I think that's why we're not going to necessarily sustain long losing streaks. We have a lot of stoppers. We have a lot of guys capable of being aces and picking us up.
But that said, and I agree with you, but that said, this homestand is, an August crucial homestand. Yeah, that's where we are. First week in August, these are no longer dog days of summer. And with the start that the team has had that has been slow, You cannot sit here and go through a bad homestand in this 60-game season.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've said it's a sprint, and I've said before, if you're going to drop, you know, 4 out of 6 like we did, you better be able to turn around and then rattle off 4 out of 6 wins. And it's very tough to do when you set yourself up to now play the Dodgers and Astros. The schedule is going to be tough, whether it's those teams, any team in the AL West. I mean, they're all capable and extremely strong. And then you see how our division's looking. I mean, the Rockies, they look like they did last year. They came out on fire, you know, and the Dodgers are still the toughest team in the league. The Padres are much, much improved. They showed us that while we were there. So, yeah, we've got our work cut out for us, but if we're as good as we think we are, let's step up to the challenge and start to make a difference and have better results.
A couple other questions for Derek Hall. We'll let him go. CEO, president of the Diamondbacks. Opening night is tonight. Early results from your view on extra innings, the games. I saw the end of the Giants game last night where their walk-off celebration was pretty funny. what do you make of the game so far? And what was the midnight call with the Marlins situation? Because I'm sure you had to be in the middle of a lot of things here in the opening week.
Yeah, I think so far the DH has worked out really well, you know, for everyone. I do think the extra innings has been fun. I think it's, look, there's still a chance of going deeper. I also watched the Dodgers-Astros that went into the 13th.
Yeah.
I think it still provides this exciting walk-off like the one you just referenced with the Padres and Giants that I watched as well. I think that's good. We haven't been in one. I thought last night if we could have held it, obviously, to a tie game, we could have had our opportunity, and it would have been fun to see. The whole Miami experience, it was a shockwave for all of baseball, but I think it was a good wake-up call for these guys, too. They've done such a good job, particularly in our camp. And we're not playing in a bubble per se, but we have created 30 bubbles. It's very important that we stick to that protocol because we've seen that it can, not necessarily that it will, but we believe it will, but it can work as long as we stick to it. And it has so far. So I think we woke ourselves up. It's a reminder that we can't let our guards down. We can't, you know, take a chance and go out and just think we're safe, we're invincible. And it's human nature to feel that way at times. They have to realize to get to the finish line, keep doing what you're doing. And now it's going to get even more vigilant where, you know, or vigorous, where you're going to have to wear masks all the time in hotels other than in your room, and all the time on a bus, and all the time on an airplane, and making sure that we have point of care tests to check our flight attendants and our pilots and our bus drivers and check their temperatures as well. I think we have to do it. We should do it. And it's not only for the safety of those guys in that clubhouse, but also for the safety of the other tiers that are essential in working, but also the families at home waiting for you to come home at night.
One other question I'll get you out of here, and that is this. I've been asked a number of times all the way back to when the postponement first happened in March. And that is, where are you at now with the future of the stadium? In the improvements or moving or wherever it is in the valley, not out of state. I'm not going down that path, but
sure,
the improvements
the
improvements with the stadium or somewhere in the valley. Is this now been pushed all the way to the back burner for down the road? What is Ken Kendrick's thoughts on this too? I know I need to ask Ken that directly, but you know where it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great question. And it hasn't been asked, Brad. And it has gone to the back burner a little bit, and wisely so. We need to focus on getting back to recovery and hopefully getting fans back into the ballpark, Chase Field, where it is downtown, safely, confidently, comfortably. But I also think there's been a great deal of focus the last year or so by city officials, county officials, the state, trying to see if there's some sort of an answer or solution to keep us downtown. I mean, we know how important and how vital it is that we stay downtown. And if there's a chance for us to acquire land around and work in partnership with the city and county and state and still have that development, you know, where we can have mixed use year round, which is really the model, as you and I have discussed before, throughout all the sports, not just baseball, but where we could have, you know, hotel and offices and restaurants and bars and retail. We're looking for that, where it is indeed year-round and where we can create more employment, bring more traffic downtown. There's a possibility to do that, but I think now we're all on the same page. We've put our heads together to see what is it that can keep us downtown. And while everything else has stalled, those energies and those thoughts have continued. So I'm really happy about that.
You've said downtown like 10 times in that answer. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And you and I have had this discussion before, and it's like I've said the big hole over at the 101-202 across from the Cubs Stadium, or where Rising is playing now, or, you know, there's the demographics show the 101, 202 has become the epicenter of Maricopa County, and trying to get people to drive from East Valley down to your games, it's not a challenge just for the Diamondbacks. It's a challenge for every sports team. They all tell me the same thing. How can we get the Southeast Valley, as it continues to grow, to come all the way downtown? And on your side of the street, it's, guys, we got to make some money outside of just the games itself. And a lot of facilities around the country are able to do that. So I get where you're at.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And you're right, focusing on that corridor. And we've had a lot of success just a little north at Talking Stick and at Salt River Fields. You know, we've had record crowds. But I also think wherever we go, we're going to benefit. And we're going to be able to, you know, again, we're going to have to keep in mind that we're going to be able to build and develop like we just discussed. The thing about downtown is that, you know, that's where we've been from day one. We're now seeing it start to grow around us, which is exciting. You know, the fact that we do control that building now and can have events more than just baseball, non-baseball events. There's apartments now. There's homes now. There's condos now. More hotels. That's great, right? Because for it to work, for the Suns, for us, we've got to get more like some of these urban success stories like Colorado, you know, like LA Live. But if we were to go to the outskirts, like you've mentioned, and they're not so outskirts anymore, we could accomplish the same there. Yeah. So we're keeping everything open. However, you know, I think it's to me, it's encouraging that elected officials have an interest in keeping us there downtown, because we have created so much for the economy, so many jobs, so much from a tax standpoint, and they understand that. So we're all ears too. And we're willing to look at any and all scenarios that could benefit our fans the best and make it easy and accessible wherever we're at.
I forgot to ask you, who's throwing out the first pitch tonight? Is there a first pitch? Who's doing the anthem tonight?
It's a great question. Our first pitch is going to be a virtual first pitch. We actually lost a scout in the DR. Internationally to COVID-19. He's the first that baseball lost, and we're going to have his children throughout the virtual first pitch.
Wow.
And then the anthem is also going to be virtual. Before when we were in spring and we didn't know we were going to shut things down, there's a young man here locally, 16-year-old, blind, great kid who taught himself how to play the clarinet, and it's been his dream to play the anthem at Chase Field. And we had called he and his family, the Jacinta family, up and asked him to sing the anthem or play the anthem on the clarinet. He accepted. We're still going to have him do it tonight. We're going to have him do it virtually. It's going to be a really cool moment.
Cool. Hope you and yours are well.
Thank you, Brad. Likewise, my friend. Good to talk to you as always. Look forward to the next time.
Take care. There's Derek Hall with us, President and CEO of the Diamondbacks, and we are back with more after this timeout. It's good to catch up with Derek Hall. We have Jimmy Vaccaro here in a few minutes. So on the college football front, so Eric, the University of Minnesota announced yesterday that they are only going to be doing online this fall. And so when we have these colleges that come out and say, we're only going to be doing online, then the masses say, well, if you're doing online, how is it you can do sports? We've had this discussion before, but I think this is now starting to hit people smackly in the face of, well, if it's not safe enough for students to be there on campus, then how in God's green earth is it safe enough for guys to go play football? Of course, what many people don't understand is it's money. If they don't play these games, conferences are going to be wiped out. The NCAA oversees the FCS playoffs, So that is in jeopardy. That is in harm's way, from my understanding. And if that is in harm's way, when you have schools like Northern Arizona University and Montana State or Southern Utah or fill in the blanks, that's bad for those schools. And I think we are going to see some schools continue to say we are ceasing sports operations, thus football opportunities, other sports opportunities will be less and less. For the Big 12, from what I've read and heard this morning, Bob Bowlesby from Larry Scott, the commissioner of that conference, is looking at the 9-game plus one. 9-game conference plus one. The Pac-12 has already said we're not doing the plus one, which made USC's program. Clay Helton is the luckiest man in America because suddenly he doesn't have to play Alabama and Notre Dame when he's in a year where he can get his head chopped off. What do you think on 9 plus 1 if that comes out? Are you just fine with whatever as long as you get football? Or do you think just play your conference games? Because this is becoming the tipping point for the SEC and the Big 12.
Well, that's what the Big 12 is, Brad. The Big 12 only has – everyone plays everyone in the Big 12. It's not broken up into divisions. So the 9+1 model is essentially just all your conference games minus – I guess it would be one or two non-conference games. So for the Big 12, it's business as usual. It'd be different for the Pac-12 because you have 12 teams.
Right.
But like I said, the Big 12, everyone plays everyone else. So to me, this isn't really news. The bigger story is going from a 10-game season down – from a 12-game regular season down to a 10-game regular season in the Big 12.
So how do you figure out a playoff then? Right. So because everybody's going to have an unequal amount.
I've got an idea. Not play college football in the fall. There's your solution.
Ooh, and the audience just said, boo, P.U. Get that guy off the air. Throw stuff at Eric.
Nobody loves the sport more than I do. Trust me. But so many variables are happening right now. You know, we can't play baseball safely. What makes you think we're going to be able to play football safely?
Yeah. So one other thing before I break here, and that is we don't know if Ducey is talking today. It's been every Thursday at 3:00. But if he talks today, the subject of whether the high school football season should be asked of him, because that is what Governor Newsom said. We are not doing high school sports. That's what the governor of New Mexico said. We are not doing this right now. And so what does the governor of Arizona think should happen with extracurricular activities if, in fact, he is made available today? I hope somebody asks him that question.
Me too.
I really do. Jimmy Vaccaro's next. Stay with us. All right, as promised, Jimmy Vaccaro is with us. South Point Resort and Casino, VSiN on Sirius XM. I remember going up there when they first started. It was even before VSiN started. Brett Musburger said, hey, Brad, come on the show. I was up there for the Pac-12 tournament. Now that has grown and blown up into this enormous, enormous platform, and you can hear all that content over on Sirius XM. Jimmy, I just wanted to have you on because I haven't talked to you in a while. We're friends. I think you've got a lot that has been on your plate up there with Vegas. And I hear a lot of uncertainty down here about what's Vegas like from the fans. And I just think having a real general basic what's it like post-COVID conversation or in COVID conversation, what's it like within the Vegas scene, and in particular South Point Resort. So thanks for coming on, man.
Well, it's my pleasure, young man. I wish we could be speaking under different terms, but here we are. We're all coping, and you know, we'll get down to like what needs to obviously at least hopefully get us through here with the sports side. Like everything else, my friend, we're coping. You know, since the baseball started, and you know, and now we got the hockey staring at us, which will be very, very good. The NBA. So you know, I'll give you a good report next week after we go through everything like that. But let me tell you, my friend, you know, the social distancing, the kids doing what they're supposed to do, the handle has not been that bad. I thought it'd be a lot worse. And here's the diamond in the rough for us, and someone like me who thought it wouldn't make a dent, is the UFC. This Dana White outpulled everybody. I mean, you know, a month and a half ago, I said, this kid's crazy. You know what? And obviously, it is a monster handle when you have all these games on a weekend. And now with these matches in Las Vegas, it's really been the saver. It's just incredible what this UFC done. And naturally, people are understanding it more. People know who is who anymore than they once did. And so I can honestly say from that point, you know, the NBA, we'll see what happens. Obviously, baseball shot itself in the foot the other day with the insanity that put everybody through. But I think that the UFC, the NHL hockey will be good. It's a shame they didn't have all these games on the West Coast, like in Las Vegas. It would have been even better, but we haven't. But, you know, my friend, let me tell you, and you've been around this racket as long as I have, we're all second. If this football doesn't come back, I don't know what's going to happen. It's fairly obvious now that the college is in more dire straits than the NFL. And the NFL is not going to make a decision, as far as I'm concerned, until they find out exactly what college is going to do. I could still live with seven NFL games on Saturday and seven on Sunday, but hopefully, and people don't understand, and you do, college football is a monster. I would hate to lose it, but that's about where we're at, my friend.
So if the NFL doesn't happen or is delayed, I mean, what would be worse, Jimmy, is NFL starts and then stops. NFL starts and a team comes down with it. You've already done all of your work, and the game gets postponed on a Friday or Saturday because, I mean, the scenarios that I have been going through when I talk to my friends about Vegas with just the NFL, if you can talk about that.
Well, the NFL, again, it would sustain. At least we would be open. At least, like I said, if they split it up, it would be doable. If it's just, you know, everything on the Sunday with no Saturday whatsoever, I don't know. Because, well, from the business that I'm in, and obviously, you know, looking what the weekend does, you start on Friday and it builds. And then you have a miraculous, you have a great Saturday matchups with these college teams. And what helps so much with the college young men is simply we have about four or five very good games, 9 o'clock in the morning. We have four more big games at 12:30, three more big games at 4:30, and then UCLA, USC, all the West Coast teams. So it's a churn. People keep coming back and back and back. We have written as much business on the college as we do in the NFL in the last 10 years. That's how strong it is. If it goes away, they would have to split the games up, I believe, in order for us at least to be viable, at least to us, we can at least maybe break even for the weekend. It's still a business. We still need to bring people in the casino. And if there's no football whatsoever, young man, you'll see a kid like me, you know, hitchhiking back to Trafford, Pennsylvania. I think it's that bad.
Oh, wow. But is that being considered behind the scenes? Have you heard that maybe the NFL would split up and play? Because it makes sense. Those television windows are sitting there just vacant if there's no college football.
Well, they have to do something drastic. And like I said, everything that we do or they do, it's the first time out of the box. But the biggest ridiculous thing, if they wouldn't try anything, it's just like give up and here we go. I guess it's like a day-to-day situation. I don't know exactly what it is. Right now, how can you tell the baseball team from downtown that said you guys made a horrible mistake? Now we got to bench you for 5 days, season win totals, listing pitchers, all that stuff. It's out the window. You go day by day. And let me tell you something, and listen to all your fans out there, Brad, and keep pushing it. When you make a bet, whether it's in Nevada or New Jersey or whatever, check the rule board out. The rules can be different at different casinos as long as you post the rules you want to be on season wins, who starts, who loses, you know, how far does the game have to go, stuff like that. Don't be second guessing yourself. Ask or look at the rules before you make your bet. It's your money. Don't screw it up.
How about prop bets right now? I'm hearing those are all over the place about whether a season will finish, will a season be delayed? Walk me through that side, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's up there. You know, after the initial, like, bang, you read it, it's kind of cute, it's kind of fun, but it doesn't draw, you know, huge attention. We're just like trying to keep our name in the paper, my friend. That's what it comes down to. You know, we were booking ping pong from China and Japan. Wow. I mean, if you'd have told a kid like me, you know, 45 years ago, listen, Jimmy, in about 45 years, you're going to be booking ping pong. Oh, yeah, go ahead and have another beer, buddy. You need to relax. But that's where we're at.
Stay well. I appreciate your time, and it's good to hear your voice. And stay healthy, Jimmy. Thanks.
All right, my buddy. Keep in touch.
Here's Jimmy Vaccaro with us, South Point Resort and Casino, VSiN over on Sirius XM. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. I will tell you that when we do this show, when we're all in different parts, like Eric's at his place, Jared's at his place, I'm at my place, there's all sorts of things that can happen, and we just roll on. Things, I see TV shows, news, prime time, just blow up and not even be able to get on the air. It's just part of the deal. So I appreciate Jared and his work day in and day out. He is the Iron Man of Sports 360AZ. .com. This show repeats over and over and over now, and tomorrow it'll be the Football AZ show from Fox Sports Arizona that we will have in this stream. We are self-funded. That means when you see these commercials you're about to see, these are people that believe in what we do. These are businesses that believe in what we do. Being self-funded means if we don't have funding, we don't do it. So we appreciate those that believe in what we are doing. Make sure you head over to our website at sports360az.com. Have a great day.